This is a production of Memberchair Media, a ministry of TWR. It's copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I've come back to you with a new series. You hear lots of different series from me, but this one I've brought in a guest, and this is Paul.
Hello.
Paul is a friend of mine and works with me. He's a therapist, and he has a special part of the therapeutic process that he does, and that is the whole issue of working with men in particular in the issue of sexual wholeness. And so today we're going to introduce the topic of sexual wholeness, and I'm going to kind of just listen today more than other times, but we're going to be doing some question and answers and making some assignments afterwards. So why don't you tell us what exactly you mean by sexual wholeness, Paul?
I think sexual wholeness, when I started working with men, what I really wanted to be able to do was come up with a picture or an image where we desire to be instead of thou shalt not. A lot of men struggle with forming and having a healthy sexuality. There are common ways that a lot of men struggle. Currently, the biggest one is pornography via the internet. That can be something that stops someone from being fully what God has created them in their sexuality. For us to come on and have a conversation about pornography and how awful it is, I think the people who are struggling with it know that. My hope is to have an image of where do we want to be? Sexual wholeness. The image of that is that we're probably never going to be fully sexually whole until we're in heaven, where we're sanctifying and growing all the time. So no one is perfect sexually. It's an ongoing process. Some people may be a little further along than others. So the image of sexual wholeness says that everyone is struggling. The common theme that I see with a lot of men right now is internet pornography. Easy access. It's been called the crack cocaine of pornography. One click, you can look at anything that you want to look at. It's free. It's accessible. People who never would have walked into a dirty bookstore or wouldn't have looked at the covered magazines in a store, at home, at night, in the dark of night, when everyone's asleep, can be tempted to go away. A lot of people will find it by chance. Most of our mailboxes are full of spam, and that is full of pornography and ads for low interest rates. Those are the two big ones. And it's easy to accidentally click, get to a site, be exposed, and then be pulled in with no one to talk to about it. The most common thing that I see is that every man out there struggling with this feels like he is the only one. And if that were the case, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and it wouldn't be taking up more and more of my caseload. Depending on which research you're reading, we have between 50 and 70% of men struggling with issues in their sexuality. So it's not something that's just one or two people struggling with. It's a majority of men struggling to some extent.
That's really interesting to me to realize that there's so many of us, literally, and it's not them, it's us, that struggle with this. This is not something that we are all alone. And yet, I think one of the most common feelings, the shame and guilt of the thoughts or activities or behaviors, keeps us in the darkness of thinking that we are alone. It's a pretty effective strategy for keeping us from becoming whole.
Absolutely. And once we start to feel ashamed and alone and we start hiding, then what we start doing is we stop reaching out to other people. We quit talking. We stop having deep conversations with anybody because we never want to have them ask us that question. So what it starts is it starts a cycle where, okay, I'm doing the sin behavior. I'm struggling in this area. Now I'm going to isolate over here and I'm not going to talk to anybody. So it fuels it. And it becomes a process where more and more we get more and more closed off. And the only place that we're filling up that empty spot is doing something that's unhealthy for us.
Most people that come to you to talk about issues of sexual pain or hurt or wholeness, are they really as quiet and not talking to people as you just said?
Yes, most of them are, if not all. What happens is they believe really that they're the only ones struggling. I was running a group recently and had some people in it, having them do a sexual history. And this was the first time this man had ever shared this, ever shared it with anybody, and really felt like he was the only person that struggled like this. I think we joke a lot, even in Christian circles, about men and our sexuality, and our guys are going to be guys. But it's not something that we can joke about. I mean, I joke a lot, probably way too much in my day-to-day life. But this is an area that really a lot of us cover our own insecurities with our sexuality by joking about it, instead of having really honest conversations.
Honesty, that's really, really the key into wholeness.
Absolutely. Admitting that I have a problem. When Christ talked about which person was closer to the kingdom, it wasn't the one that was holding up his hand saying, I'm perfect and I'm great. It was the one that said, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I think that the first place is to really start to say, you know what? I do have a problem. And sometimes that problem's just not just pornography. Sometimes it's just struggling with thoughts. Sometimes it's struggling with thinking major sexual thoughts about individuals. Doing behaviors that cause us to feel more and more shame about our sexuality. That's where the image of sexual wholeness is nice, because it says, wait a minute, there's room for all of us to grow. The key thing is saying, you know, what parts of my sex life am I not satisfied with? Not performance. What parts of my sexuality do I feel ashamed with? Men tend to deal with our shame by operating shameless. If we feel ashamed, we rev up our engines, and we just keep going instead of stopping and saying, wait a minute, I don't really like how I operate this way. So I think the first step is saying, do I really like how I'm operating sexually? Are there areas in my life that I'm not comfortable with that I wish I could stop? Are there areas in my life and my sexuality that if anybody found out, they would totally reject me? What are my fears? What if someone finds out? I think it to take some time to explore some of those things. And if those are popping up even right now, to say, wait, those are the areas that we need to get honest about and say, wait, these are some areas that aren't whole in my life.
I have another question, just to answer briefly, is the whole issue of as people come to see you, I'm sure people are coming to see you because of behavior, but I think there's also a lot of people that are coming because of the thoughts. And thoughts go on way before behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That a lot of people... Got people that describe it that they're bombarded daily with thoughts, almost like they can't stop having those kinds of thoughts. And I treat them the same way. They're usually covering something else. Sexual wholeness, I mean, sex is not about sex. Sexual wholeness is not about our sex life. What are we trying to fill? We've taken sexuality and we're trying to put it into something that it can't fill. So usually when we're longing for something or if we're thinking a lot, sometimes that person's feeling lonely. Sometimes they're feeling sad. Sometimes they're feeling frustrated. And the thoughts have become a way to help them not deal with that. And thoughts eventually become actions. Actions become habits. And habits become the thing that begin to destroy us.
Well, this has really been a good introduction to this whole process. I really like your approach of focusing on wholeness as opposed to damaged things or partness or whatever. The idea is that there is room for growth for each of us, that we are all on a journey of growth and of faith, and opening up the whole sexuality part of ourselves to this faith journey is very important. So I really appreciate that positive stance that you take in this, Paul, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to be doing in the future. From now, between now and the time we get back with you, I'd like you just to think about what Paul said. Are there areas, ask yourself, are there areas of your sexual personhood, I guess, that you wish were different, that you wish you were not focusing on, that you wish you could change? I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about our attitudes about who we are and how we're living. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Member Care Media presentation. We hope you found it helpful. Please explore the many other topics on this website. We invite your comments and your suggestions. This feature may not be reproduced without written permission.